Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Assistance, assistance, they're everywhere. We need more.
And I'll show you how to solve a mystery with your little finger.
And we're going to spin the meal wheel.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million small business owners. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/iOS Today. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at QuickenLoans.com/iOS Today. Spin the meal wheel. Holy Camellia. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's iOS we go. Mm-hmm. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte. Happy first day of spring.
Is it the first day of spring?
Yes.
Spring has sprung.
Mm-hmm.
We had the springnal equinox. Is that what it's called?
I don't know. It's the first day of spring, if you're watching this live. If you're watching this September,
it's still the first day of spring.
Yeah.
Here, mm-hmm. We don't know what it is where you are.
No.
Actually, if you're down under, it's the first day of fall.
Oh.
Is it not?
I believe so. Probably.
This is the show where we get confused about calendars, times, and talk about iOS. That means the iPhone, the iPad, the Apple Watch, and I don't know why I point to this, but I do, the Apple TV.
Yes, I promised one of our viewers that we were going to do a special segment on Apple TV, but it won't be today.
Well, this applies. This applies. We're going to talk about voice assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on with voice assistants. I mean, we've had Siri on Apple for some time. And you do have Siri mm-hmm. on your Apple TV, right?
Yes.
But now we're getting third-party voice assistants. And this was kind of stimulated by today's announcement, long rumored, that there is going to be a new voice assistant in town named Bixby.
Bixby. My favorite description of Bixby, which will only be on Samsung devices so far.
It's for the new Samsung Galaxy mm-hmm. S8. Yeah.
It's cognitively tolerant. That's what Samsung said. That means you can say, you don't have to say the specific syntax. Like, that's the problem with Siri often. You have to know what to ask for. If you want her to read your text messages, you have to say, read my messages.
All voice assistants have a limited vocabulary. Mm-hmm. None of them are perfect, and I doubt Bixby will be perfect.
Oh, but you don't? No, just cognitively tolerant.
It'll be a little more tolerant. Okay. The thing that I'm curious from you about is it a good idea to have more than one voice assistant on your device? You know, the nice thing about the Amazon Echo, that's the Amazon Echo. She doesn't even have other voices.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it is, and you talk to it. It would be very confusing in your house. In fact, I know because I happen to have a Google Home as well as an Amazon Echo, to have two different assistants. I ended up giving the Google Home to one of my kids because I never used it because it's different things. So you could say Google Home do this and hey, Amazon Echo do that, but it's just you don't.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if having five different, that's how many you could have if you wanted, five different voice assistants on your iPhone or iPad is really a good thing.
No, and they don't give, you know, Apple doesn't give access. Nobody has the access that Siri has.
Nobody can, you know, you with Siri, you can actually say, hey, we'll say Shlomo. Hey, Shlomo. You could also press the home button and activate her. The one thing that I have to say Samsung is doing right in the S8 is they put a dedicated Bixby button on the phone, so that at least solves that. Because you still have, you know, hey, Google.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I don't know. I'll buy an S8, of course, because we have to review it. But I wonder if it's going to be confusing. And if you end up just not using the others. We've had, you know, Google on our iPhones for a long time, but you have to launch the Google app.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that?
No. No, I don't. But I'll show you how today. We're going to go through some of them. This was also new last week is Amazon now gives you access to their voice services within the iPhone. But it is very limited. And again,
it's not even as good as the Echo.
No.
Can't do all the things the
Echo
can do.
You can't do the flash briefing.
Yeah.
So it's within the Amazon shopping app. So you...
Oh, it's not in the Amazon A-Word app?
No. It's in the, I know. Isn't that weird? Because you could... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to open this up. And here's my Amazon. And then...
That's pretty funny.
You have to update it if you haven't updated it in a while. And then you just press this so you can say things like... Add dog food to my shopping list.
See, I find that useful.
Oh, I didn't get... Let's try it again. What's the most popular dog food?
Now, you will have to... The first time you use it, and you've already set it up. You will have to allow it access to the microphone. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you type... I haven't used it yet. So I tapped the microphone button in my Amazon shopping app, and it tells you what you could do using your voice. You could search, reorder, add to cart, track orders. By the way, I use that feature of Echo all the time. I order, you know, I'm shaving, and I go, I need new razor blades, or I need new toothpaste, and I will just say, hey, Echo, get me some more toothpaste. She says, well, the most recent toothpaste you ordered is Colgate Total. And would you like more of that? And you say, yes, what's your pass, your code? And I say the number, and then it orders it. And that's actually, I think, really convenient. Mm-hmm. Less so to have to go to an app. I'm already in the app. I could just now at this point, you know, type toothpaste.
Yeah, that's
true. Anyway, you have to access the microphone, so I'm going to say yes. Okay.
But, you know, you had the, that, sorry, and I shouldn't talk while you're trying to do
it. So she's listening.
What did I just ask for?
Oh, and I have to sign in.
Okay, well,
already too many steps.
You don't have to sign in every time, just once.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the kind of thing that discourages you from doing these new assistants when you could just talk to Siri.
But you had yes, that's true. You had the caller over the weekend that was blind that was using...
Yeah, and that was cool, yeah. Right? Because if you think about it, somebody who's blind now has a voice interface to their computer. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And what did he... I forgot what he wanted to do. He wanted to use if this, then that to send emails, right? He said, is there any way I can use my Amazon Echo to email somebody? And there's a workaround that uses the to-do list. And when you add something to a particular to-do list, then you can have an if this, then that script that says, oh, I see something on that to-do list and emails it to somebody, but you can only have one recipient. It has to be short. And this is the main reason I think that you don't have this skill in an Amazon Echo is they don't want you to say long passages. Siri, you can go on and on and on. You know, send a text message to Megan, tell her I'm running late. I'll be here a little bit. Can I stop off and get you some Campbell's chicken soup? I'm on my way and I'm driving by the store. And perhaps this has gone on too long, so maybe I should stop right now, but I'm having too much fun dictating it. Signed, Leo. Siri would do that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazon Echo, I'd be cut off after the first five or six words.
Right, that's true. So far this isn't working so well. Let's see if you're supposed to be able to play music
too.
Oh, you can. Yeah.
Okay.
Play Beyonce. Cross your fingers.
Oh.
Okay, so
now I have to interact with it.
Yeah, once it did play on my my Amazon Prime Music, but it didn't that time. Let's see.
Now, I purchased Amazon Unlimited, so maybe this will be a little bit different. That's the Amazon, you know, version of Apple Music.
Play the Beatles.
Nobody has the Beatles, do they?
Mm-hmm. Play the Beatles.
This is exactly why voice assistants just make people crazy.
No, I got Play-Doh. I got the black and white.
Play-Doh Beatles?
I said play the Beatles.
I would order Play-Doh Beatles. Do they have that? All right, let me see if I mean, maybe it's just because you don't pay for music or something.
I don't pay for anything.
What should I say? Listen or play?
Oh, listen to...
Listen to Mumford & Sons. Well, it looks like I've found some Keep Calm and Listen to Mumford and some Tank Top. Not what I was looking for. How about Play Mumford and Sons? Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan on the cover. Arizona Coyotes, Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Okay, so it played before.
Listen to some music, you nitwit. This is why I hate voice assistants.
Now.
Oh, it showed me how to buy a Sonos. Okay. You know, you really should just have a Sonos instead of trying to get it through me.
Let me try this. Okay. Where's my package? Okay.
Oh, it doesn't talk, though.
No, it doesn't talk, but it did tell me where all my packages are.
Okay.
Including my Schlage Smart Deadlock. Is that how I pronounce it?
Schlage.
Schlage.
Order emergency underwear. Yeah, there we go. Emergency underpants. So,
okay, so
that's good.
It's okay.
It's not useful at all, and it's funny that they would even call this a word echo on your Apple. This is just voice search. I'm very disappointed. And as you can see, we can't really get it to play music.
But you did get it to
listen
order
to
emergency
the Beatles.
Underwear. Okay, let's say you wanted the Google Assistant.
Yeah, that works better.
Yes.
Right?
So you can get the Google Assistant through Allo, the Allo app. So this is that is what I have here.
Oh yeah. Now this is the Google Assistant is different from the Google Now Hey Google thing.
And it's different than the Google Home.
Or
So it can do some things. So let's see if it'll play Beyonce. Whoa.
//.
Okay. Play Beyonce. It's quick.
One of the things I like about Google Assistant, you see those buttons? It will then often offer you other choices. Look at that. You're getting a video.
I got Beyonce right away. I got me some Beyonce.
Which one is this?
After an ad.
Sorry. You need to buy YouTube Red.
I need to buy a lot of things. So there it is.
Instead, you bought a house.
What else
Priorities.
Should we? I know. What else
Priorities.
Should we? Priorities. I'll give. I want the happy. I can say I'm happy. H A. Ha ha ha.
Oh. I can, wait a minute. What?
I'm just.
Are you having a conversation?
Yes. I'm bored. Entertain me. This is what I need from.
I actually really like the assistant in Allo. I wish that were more, available somehow. But you have to launch a messenger, which is confusing,
yeah.
I think, to people.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I don't like about it is I can't use it as a text messaging app. I'd love to have it replace Apple Messages, for instance. But Apple won't let you do that. And even on Android, you can't have it as a SMS app, which is very strange.
So this is fun. It's useful. I mean, do you want to make reservations? Make reservations at Central Market.
It's calling you.
No, that was my husband. He's like, why?
Marco,
when are we going to dinner?
You know, he said, I see you made reservations for dinner.
Yeah.
That's great. What time should I be there?
So it does. I mean, you know, you can. Ooh, what does Buca di Beppo? Let's make
Buca
reservations
di Beppo,
there.
I love them. You said Marco. And
oh, it's
Marco
Buca di Beppo.
Buca di Beppo.
Okay, yeah.
I love Buca di Beppo. Did you work with Twit when we had our Christmas party there? I don't think you did.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we should do that again. It was
we
a lot of
should.
Fun.
We should. Make reservations for 30 people at Buca di Beppo.
Not for Christmas. Oh, Lord. So I think a negative on Alexa. Google Assistant is there. It works. It's fully there. You have to have the Allo app, and it's a little confusing because you might say, well, I want to have an assistant. I want to talk. I don't want to message. But it is a messaging app because you're kind of messaging the Google Assistant. It's a little confusing. But once you get used to that, you don't feel like you have to message, right? You're just having an interactive conversation.
It's
actually a nice I think it's a really nice kind of metaphor for how the conversation is going. You see a record of it, what she thinks you said, and gives you buttons for choices. And I think that works quite well. I like that.
I believe she is very cognitively tolerant.
She is much more so than anybody else, I think.
So we were at my parents' house. They're getting ready to go on a trip. And they have the Google Home and they have the Amazon Echo. And my mom...
They have both, too.
They have both. And my mom wanted to know if she could bring her knitting needles on the plane. And we asked that question.
That's a great question.
Yeah, we asked that question to the Amazon Echo. And it said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're asking. And we asked the Google Home. And it said, according to the Huffington Post, you are allowed to bring metal knitting needles on the plane. You just can't bring circular thread cutters. So useful.
Problematic, though.
Because it could be not true.
So this is a problem. This is, Google's, as you know, you reported on TNT, Google's gotten in a little bit of trouble because it calls these snippets. And we actually talked about it a little bit and debated it on Twit. They're in trouble because as soon as you start giving people information, facts, now you're responsible for the quality of those facts. And in fact, in many cases, for instance, if you ask, are women evil... which
that's,
is,
I would say yes.
It's not a matter of fact, so that's part of the problem, right? Mm-hmm. But you'd get articles that are high, misogynistic, hateful articles, and so Google's fixed those, and it's going to, I guess, fix them as it comes across them. But this is a problem, and the debate we had is I really think Google's making a mistake by saying, and I understand why they do it, because of Google Home, because of voice assistants. We want to give you facts. What they should be, Google's a search engine. They should give you search results, and this is the problem. Moving from search results, if you're searching for articles about, quote, are women evil, then that result would be appropriate. It would be one of many, would be the other thing, some of which would say no. But so in a search result context, it makes sense. But in a personal assistant context, it can only give you one answer. That should always be kind of a factual answer. Mm-hmm. And Google's really having a hard time with that. And I understand mm-hmm. why. It's a different kind of, you know, task.
Yeah, that is really fascinating because I reported all week on that. You know, they were asking which presidents were part of the KKK, and it would list these presidents
incorrectly.
That were not.
None of them were.
And so here I was listening to the Google Home and really trusting it, whereas my mom could have shown up with those
knitting
needles and been sent to jail.
So I understand why Google wants to give you, and I think it is factually true, you can take needle nails. But in fact, it's so funny because my mother wanted to know the same thing. But I understand why Google wants to do that. But boy, there's a big, much higher burden on giving factual information than there is on giving search results. Mm-hmm. And Google isn't doing a very good job of that. You could ask, is President Obama planning a coup? Mm-hmm. And Google would give you a search result mm-hmm. as a fact, mm-hmm. But it wasn't a fact. So this is a real problem, and I think that that's going to be a difficult thing for them to handle properly. You understand why they want to do that. They'd be the first one that, you know, Echo will give you some factual material. You could say who's president right now and mm-hmm. things like that. It's challenging. This is the other one is, of course, Microsoft's Cortana, and she's been built into Windows for some time, and Windows Phone as well. I've just setting her up to let Cortana do her best work. Microsoft collects and uses information, including contacts, calendar details, voice input, location history, search history, SMS, and other information on your device. This has been a problem for Microsoft and Windows 10. People have gotten nervous about providing that. But if you're going to use a voice assistant, it seems reasonable that you would need all of that stuff. Okay. I have to log in. So why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Here's my Cortana. I went through the login process. It's better on your phone. Hi, Megan.
It is an app for phones.
So
yeah.
Let's see if it'll. I'll ask them my question. Play Beyonce.
I pulled up some videos for you.
Look at how many Beyonce videos.
And you know what
I
like? She talks.
She does, yeah. And well, of course, she wants to play Halo, Cortana. Of course.
Isn't that funny? Cortana is a character from the game Halo. That's interesting,
yes.
Isn't it?
Well, it was one of the choices. I chose it.
Oh. Right.
I know a thing or two about the video
games.
You're
no fool.
And Beyonce and how the Venn diagram between the two.
Mm.
What's the weather?
It's currently 60 and cloudy.
So this will obviously look better on your iPhone.
But a big plus for the fact that she speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Did Google Assistant didn't even speak, did she?
No, I don't think
not
so.
Not Nalo, anyway.
Not Nalo.
Yeah.
Well, if I wanted to, where's my Amazon package?
I couldn't find any packages for you.
Ask her if women are evil.
Are women evil?
She should say, ask Google. So what she did was give you web results, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Obama planning a coup?
I pulled up the latest on is Obama planning a coup.
A coup.
The first headline from Atlanta Journal Constitution is Google search says Obama.
She's throwing a little shade now.
Well, that was what Google, after a day, Google, when you ask Google Home that, it also
it
would play
with
these stories.
Yeah.
But that is, to me, like, I am very impressed. For me to say coup and it to know, COUP,
yeah.
It didn't know yet how to pronounce it.
I think Cortana's actually a dark horse in this. I think you're right. I think she does a very good job. To go back to the permissions now, it says allow Cortana access location even when you're not using the app. So you may be a little put off by that. Notifications, okay. And then the other thing, hi, Cortana. She's asking me to type something.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, I guess. Oh, I named myself fine.
Yeah, you did. Now you
that
can
was
press
a mistake.
Now you can speak. The button.
Play the Beatles. Nope, not Play the Beta. Play the Beatles. Play the Beatles. Jeez Louise. This is the other thing that I really like about Cortana, and this is true on Windows as well.
You should definitely empty the trash.
They're kind of Google Now-y cards, right? So it knows where I work, and it knows what the traffic to work is going to be. It gives me news that I'm interested in based on my expressed interest in Microsoft Windows. So because I used my Windows account to log in, it knew a lot about me already out of the box. So if you use Windows, I think Cortana might not be a bad choice. She's a very complete kind of a source of information. It knows, you know, I didn't tell it. It knows where I am, but I didn't tell it that we had one time gone to a vacation in Newport Beach or that my mother lives in Cranston. But from previous searches, it did know that. And so I think this is actually, you know what, of them all, even maybe better than Siri. I think Cortana is really great. I only wish you could make her your default.
Do you use her on your Surface?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. I don't find voice assistants very useful in desktop computing. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, Siri on the Mac. Apple just added that in El Capitan. We have Google. If you use Chrome, you can talk to Chrome and say, okay, Google. If you're using Windows, you're using Cortana as well. So you have all of that, but I don't use it on the desktop. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not where I need it. I want it on mobile devices. How about you?
Yeah. Here, voice assistants I use to play things like while I'm getting ready in the morning. Like I'll play my flash briefing on my Amazon Echo. Mm-hmm. I will, and that includes the weather. In the car, I use Siri to read my email and read my text messages
and respond to text messages.
And it's not, if I ask to read my email, it will only read mail, and I use Gmail. So I have to then manually download my mail into the mail app for it to read anything. It doesn't have a good filter. So really, it's just like I'm driving and I have a million things to do. One thing I can do is just have it be reading my email so I know all the things that I need to do.
Do you do that? Does Siri read your email?
Yeah. That's interesting. And then reminders constantly I use on my watch. Remind me in an hour. Remind me when I get home.
I use that. Even when I'm cooking, I'll say, you could do this. This is probably the killer app that got Echo into so many homes. Set a timer for 4 minutes as you're boiling your spaghetti. But I do it on my watch, my Apple Watch all the time. I do it on my phone, whatever's handy. Mm-hmm. And now everything will do that. So that's really more about whatever's around.
Yeah. Right? But I am looking towards making my home more automated and using the Echo to do things like that. My kids use it. Not my daughter, but my boys listen to comedy. They listen to their audiobooks. I'll listen to my audiobooks,
really?
Too. Yeah.
So they're savvy enough to do that Echo.
They have their own. They got it for Christmas.
They have their own Echo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. And they drive each other crazy with it, too, which is another thing
that you can do. Good use for it.
Yes.
I think home automation this year is going to be the big skill that you're going to be looking for in all these voice assistants. You know, Apple has HomeKit. Siri, I guess, will eventually control HomeKit. I don't see much evidence of that. But Echo right now will control many of the hubs, the Y-Things hub, the Wemo. It will control the Samsung SmartThings hub. Now, did I say Y-Things? I don't think Y-Things has a hub. The Wemo or the SmartThings hub. And that's pretty cool because that's a very natural use of it. In fact, we're going to show something in a little bit that will let you turn your lights off and on in your house. You're getting that. Are you getting the new lock you're getting? Is that a Bluetooth door lock?
It works with HomeKit, and it is Bluetooth.
Nice. That's great, because that'll make it much easier for me to break into your house.
Right. I'll give you the code. You'll have
You don't have to. It's just an easy thing to do.
I know. I was thinking, maybe I won't mention this on the show, that I have this lock.
No.
I have a big dog.
I'm very nervous about having anything that will automatically unlock my door. Because I'm afraid that that's exactly the kind of thing the bad guys could take advantage of, right?
I guess so. Maybe it's a good time to show a big picture of my big rescue dog again. Where is he?
Oh, and he's a killer too. Let me tell you.
There he is.
He'll bite your head off. Yeah, you could tell. I'm so mad at you.
Okay. I had one more thing to say about us. Oh, there's also, we talked about just the idea that there's one answer. If we, you know, get used to the idea, we can just ask a question and we can get an answer that there
is one
answer.
As long as you trust it.
Yep. There also is this just immediate gratification, which is good. And also, I wonder how it's affecting our children. Think of the children.
Think of the children.
But it is, I mean, Milo heard, I think it was like a Walmart commercial or something, that the best things in life are free. I don't know. He heard the song. He liked it.
He said, what is this song?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He asked, now he asks the Echo to play the best things in life for free. And then he plays all this Sam Cooke. And, you know, he's really into it now.
That's one of the things I really like about, and one reason you might want Google Assistant, is you can say, what is the song that says what a wonderful world, and it will look up and figure out via lyrics what the song is and tell you what the song is. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. My whole life, I used to work at a record store, and really the main reason people would walk in, and they'd always ask for me, they'd say, well, I'm looking for a song that says this, there is a lady we all know who says all that glitters is not gold. Stairway to Heaven. It's over in aisle 6. That's something these can do now, mm-hmm. but much better than any human. Yeah. That's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the same experience when I worked in bookstores. That was
right.
a book that I heard
There's
of
a book
it
that,
has
yeah.
a little orphan.
I don't know if they can do that yet.
You can, I think you can get kind of close.
Can you?
But yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
So yeah, our good thing we have different jobs now, since those jobs have
They're
been
gone.
taken by the robots.
That's the only job I was ever fired from.
Oh,
working
why?
In a record store.
Why? Because you were...
I was good at it. I don't know
yeah,
why.
You yeah. just, yeah.
I was too good. Mm. I threatened them.
You also were freelance for a while, and you always had to
send invoices. You know where I'm going with
yes.
this one. It was the thing I hated the most. You don't get into business because you like doing bookkeeping, unless your business is bookkeeping. And even then, I wonder if you like bookkeeping. You got in business to be a plumber, to be a carpenter, to be a writer. There's so many wonderful jobs you can have. But the problem is, if you don't send out invoices to your clients, you don't get paid. I learned that a hard way, and I was so glad more than 10 years ago now, 12, 13 years ago, when Amber MacArthur told me about this fabulous new Canadian company. It had just started up in Toronto called FreshBooks. Here we are, 13 years later, 10 million small business owners use FreshBooks to keep track of everything, to send their invoices, yes, and it's very easy in FreshBooks to create and send professional-looking invoices. And when you do use FreshBooks, not only is it easier for you to make the invoice, it's easier for your client to pay. They can actually pay online through the invoice with a credit card, no setup required. And that means you're going to get paid faster, on average, 11 days faster. 11, just because you're using FreshBooks. Plus, you'll always have a record of when invoices have been sent, when invoices have been paid, when invoices haven't been paid. You even know which invoices have been viewed. That's right. So the client can't say, oh, I didn't get your invoice. Yes, you did. You read it yesterday. It'll automatically send out auto payment reminders, automatic late fees. I wish I'd had this. Automatic late fees. You can set recurring invoices. You can even set recurring payments if your client agrees. That makes it so much easier for everybody. Turns out clients hate paying bills as much as you hate sending bills. This is not what they got in business for either. So make it easy all around. FreshBooks has time tracking built into the web app, as well as their mobile apps on the iPhone and Android. So you can easily track minutes, not just by client, but by project. Bill for time. It goes right into the invoice. You can even manage team timesheets. So if you've been wanting to do timesheets for your business, you could do it in FreshBooks. I love FreshBooks. And that new dashboard tells you the one thing every business owner needs to know and often doesn't. Did I make money? Have I been making money this year? Usually you don't know that until you file for taxes. Now you'll know at any moment, because FreshBooks knows your outbound expenses. It knows your inbound accounts receivable, who's paid, who hasn't. At moment to moment, you'll know exactly how much money you've made this year. FreshBooks is awesome. It's a great dashboard. And yeah, it works with everything else you use too. Acuity Scheduling, Gusto, Shopify, Stripe, and on and on and on and on and on. You know, tax time's coming. It's probably too late for this year, but wouldn't it be good to start right away for next year? Simplify your tax season, know how you stand, and save hours, like 192 hours on average every year, by using FreshBooks. Try it, literally 192 hours a year. Try it free for 30 days, freshbooks.com/iOS today. If you do us a favor, when there's a field that says, how did you hear about us? Don't write my Uncle Sam or Amber MacArthur, write iOS today. Say, Leo sent us. FreshBooks.com/iOS today. 30 days free, which is pretty sweet. freshbooks.com/iOS today. Imagine sending out all your invoices today, right after the show. Boom, 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 boom. For free. We thank them for their support and for their years of taking me off the hook. Man, I hated doing that.
Yeah, it's not fun.
One year I didn't send at one point to Rogers because I was going up to Canada. I didn't send invoices for like 4 or 5 months. And they got so mad at me. They said, you can't send us 5 months of invoices in one batch.
Did they still pay you?
I think they did, but I think they said, if that happens again, we're not going to pay it. So get on track. That's mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. I complained about that to Amber. She said, well, you probably should use this.
Yeah. Those weren't fresh books you sent.
They were old, stale books. Do not send stale books.
All right. I got a couple pieces of news. what's your music app that you listen to?
So it used to be Spotify. I used to love Spotify. And then I had Apple Music for a while. But I had too many, so I've cut down. I've narrowed it down. Google Play Music, I got a deal when they first launched, and I'm grandfathered in at $8 a month. That's pretty good. And I mentioned recently, because Amazon added Unlimited to the Echo, and I really like that idea, I bought also $8 a month, the Amazon Echo Unlimited. So those are the two music programs.
And you never have you used? You must have used Pandora.
Oh, I still have a Pandora. You know, isn't that funny? I don't include them in that same category because it's my radio. So yeah, I have Pandora One or whatever they call it these days.
Yeah, the $60 a year or whatever.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah,
I use it all the time.
I just recently gave up. It was like an old credit card, so it said
it is.
And then I just
it is. It's like that thing you pay every month you forget about.
But then they sent me a thing saying that my account was
ending. Doesn't work anymore.
And then I was like, okay. But now they're starting a new.
Right.
Service.
Unlimited.
Same.
40 million songs.
Mm-hmm.
Their claim to fame. See, everybody has to have a claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
Apple Music's claim to fame is lots of exclusives. You heard that they paid Chance the Rapper $500,000 for a 2-week lock exclusive on his next album. That's how important exclusives are. Can't do that with the Pandora. So their claim to fame, they've got two. One is, of course, the same reason you like Pandora Radio. They use the Music Genome Project. Pandora started first. Not as a streaming music service, but Tim Westgren, when he founded it, had done this thing called the Music Genome Project, where he took a bunch of professional musicians and said, see if we can categorize music. This is Latin, salsa. It's acoustic or electric. It's a combo or a symphony orchestra. You know, we'll break music down into categories. And then the theory being, well, if you liked music in this category with these attributes, you'll probably like music in this category with similar attributes. And then as they get more data about what people like, they could say, well, people who like this kind of music also like this kind of music. That was their secret sauce. It still is. So they want to apply that to playlist generation in the new Pandora. What are they going to call it?
Premium? Pandora Premium?
Something like that. It's going to be $10 a month. The other thing they say is music's too hard. It's too difficult when you go to Spotify or Apple Music. You got to dig through to get some music going. You just want to say, and they know this from their experience with Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people use Pandora. Just play my Tony Bennett channel. So they're going to make a very clean interface. It's very easy to use. And you can get playing music, the music you want right away. And one of the things they're doing is you recently listened to this, 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 and this. Would you like to do more of that? And I think most people, that's probably all they need.
Yeah, and Apple Music has something similar to that, but it's never been that great for me. So let's see. I think they have the For You, so it'll be my new music mix. So this is based on the things that I and my kids listen to, unfortunately. And it's been a long time, so it's like what they might have downloaded, years ago.
Recently played, that's similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this looks pretty darn simple. I'm not sure that Pandora is going to offer that much.
I don't think so either.
Different.
I sort of given up on them. Spotify also, they had news this week. They are finally giving up. You used to be able to listen to anything, whether you're on the ad free or the free tier. You could listen to any music, but now they've decided to make a deal with the record companies, and there will be some music that you'll only get if you pay for Pandora.
Spotify is in negotiations right now with the record labels, and this is where they get squeezed. And so this is always the thing that's worried me about Spotify, is they only can exist as long as the record industry kind of allows them to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I think the record industry sees some value. We talked about this on Sunday on Twit, that the Discovery Weekly playlist and things like that are valuable for new artists. So the record industry doesn't want to kill them. They just don't want them to do too well.
Yeah.
So one of the deals the record industry was able to make this time around is They hate the free music tier, period. They would love to kill the free music tier. But they also recognize that's how people find out about Spotify and whether they want it. So they're just not going to put the new stuff on there, right? They're going to be able to keep artists. Remember, that was what Taylor Swift didn't like.
Yeah, T-Swizzle did not like the free tier.
Right. Nor, Taylor Swift didn't either. So so I think that that's always been a thorn in the side of the record industry, and they got their way this time.
Yeah, and I guess Spotify's going to IPO soon, and so they're trying to look better by doing that. They have 50 million paid subscribers.
That's the main reason the record industry hasn't killed them yet. And you have to really worry about companies like Deezer and Tidal and the little guys, right? Mm-hmm. Apple's going to be around. Google's going to be around. Amazon's going to be around. They're not going to go anywhere because they don't even need to make money on these.
Right.
But the indies like Spotify, they're the ones in trouble. Fortunately, Spotify's the biggest of them all. Pandora, by the way, is right up there too.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be able to survive just because the record industry does need some way for people to hear new music.
Exactly. So another piece of Bloomberg today, which was pretty interesting, about augmented reality and Tim Cook. He's notably secret. Apple is notably secret. But he's been talking about augmented reality. Maybe it's the next big thing. He says it might be bigger than the iPhone.
I think Bloomberg was talking to Robert Scoble.
You do? Oh, because Robert, maybe you're going to have to take Robert out to dinner.
Robert is the guy. Maybe. Robert really thinks this is the next big thing.
Well, so this piece, basically, Mark Gurman, who,
he's got his sources.
He has good sources. He always has, formerly of 9 to 5 Mac.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's going to be part of the next iPhone and not like a Google Glass type thing.
That's exactly what Robert says.
But like what? I mean, like the, how I love the Snapchat filters. Like that's augmented reality.
Yeah, but that's kind of not like world-beating augmented reality.
Well,
that's like,
speak for yourself.
Well, I mean, other people say Pokemon Go is augmented reality. Yeah, but both are kind of trivial uses of augmented reality. Gurman said that Apple is working on glasses, but those will not be out anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Those are probably a year or two off. So in the interim, they're going to somehow add. Now, remember, Robert Scoble says the next iPhone will be clear. Now, he's going to weasel out of this because I think what he's going to end up, which I think is probably the case, clear in the same way that Pokemon Go is clear. When you play Pokemon Go, the Pokemon is superimposed on whatever is coming through the camera of the phone. And so it looks like there's a Pokemon on the sidewalk in front of you, right? That's, kind of weak augmented reality. But if that's what you're talking about, Robert may be right, and I think Mark's probably implying something like that. Do you imagine, though? I mean, you don't want to walk around. This is not going to get the approval of moms anywhere. I'm always walking around like this because I'm looking at the world through my phone, and I want to see what the phone adds to it in augmented reality.
Well, I think that's not the end game. The end game is that we're
You'll
trying to avoid
it with glasses.
That. Yeah, glasses are some sort, like that, like glass plate. Or some, thing like in Minority Report.
Walk around with it. Well, I mean, but that would make sense if it were in glasses because you could just wear, spectacles all the time. And the idea is you're going to see just what you see now, but you'll see additional material. You'll see, things superimposed over it. As you walk by a JCPenney, it'll say, dungarees 30% off right now. Or I'll be looking at Megan and it'll say, the names of her children are Huck and Milo and Annabella. What is this?
This is Snapchat. So, it's just it's like this.
That's not augmented reality. That's just putting dog ears on you.
No, and there's snow, too. Don't you see the snow falling down there?
I guess technically it's augmented reality, but
I'll just keep.
It's kind of a trivial use.
It's the same sort of. It is a trivial use of, but a lot of what we talk on this show is trivial use of technology.
Well, and you've seen, of course, Facebook now has Facebook Day, which they bought. Remember, they bought Masquerade, which we had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can do the same thing you just did, only I'm going to do it. Look, you have snow. I have spring petals falling on me.
Yeah. Well,
but this is augmented reality, but big deal.
Well,
right?
Because in the future, when we've ruined our earth, when we've destroyed our earth, when there are no more flowers, there is no more sun, and we're all living in this dystopian, dark world, we're going to need that more than ever.
Yeah, maybe. I've got a bird on my
cheek. We've used up all the clean water. We've used up all the gasoline.
Now, you know that, by the way, when you're doing this, and the way you get to it is by tapping the little happy face there, right?
Mm.
That there's more than just the highlighted ones. So you were seeing all the first day of spring, but you know that there's Nom So Hard. There's other stuff as well in there, right? You knew that. I didn't know at first. There's a ton of additional
stickers
and dress-ups. And But you know, this is not, this is nowhere near as good.
No, it's not.
As Snapchat. I mean, this is dopey, in fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's on Facebook where you already are.
Yeah.
So what do you think that Tim Cook really imagines that there will be a future where augmented reality will be more important than the iPhone? Or do you think he's just being defensive because he needs something? See, it's addictive. You
they're
like
big time right now. They're big time trying to find the next big thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not enough to be the number one company in the world and to have the number one selling smartphone in the world and be totally dominant in that market. The stock market says, well, what have you done for me lately? What's next? And so that's obviously a lot of pressure. I feel bad for Tim Cook. He, you know, he's running the most successful company in history, but he's got to come up with the next big thing.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever feel sorry for a quadrillionaire. Marie sent me an email. Thank you for the email, Marie, from New Jersey. She wrote in response to my desperate plea for some sort of guidance on smartifying your home. She says, last November, I made a decision to experiment with HomeKit automation. HomeKit seems to be limited with the number of compatible products, but I was interested specifically in purchasing the Lutron Casetta wireless light system, which is HomeKit friendly. During my investigations, the main thing that I learned was that you really have two options for automating lights, smart bulbs or smart switches, and I opted for the smart switches.
Good choice.
Lutron Casetta gets very good reviews, and the system is compatible with both Apple and the Amazon Echo. Actually, my opinion is that the Amazon Echo tends to be more responsive than Siri, from my watch.
I agree.
As you probably know, in order to use the Amazon Echo, you need to first activate the Lutron skill in the Echo app.
Right.
So
you got some.
I review it. I sent an email to Lutron. Said, can I try this out as a review? And so here's my grand. I don't have a house to put it in yet, so I'm just going to do a little unboxing. Now there's tons of stuff you can get. It's very confusing. This is for table lamps and floor lamps.
Stacy Higginbotham, who's on This Week in Google and has an IoT podcast, is really the expert on Internet of Things. Loves the Lutron. She highly recommends it. She's got it throughout her house. She told me this is the system you want.
Okay.
Now, you can get them in bits and pieces. You can get any part of this. The one you're picking here is for table lights, but you can also get it, and the way I would get it is for the built-in lights, the overhead lights, right? And there's several parts to it. There is a hub. That's that thing on the left.
That's
it's just a little
hub.
Box. Like all of these home automation systems have to have a hub. That's what communicates with the switches.
How many hubs do you have in your house?
You know what's funny? I don't have any of them hooked up. I have, you know, Hue lights, don't have the hub hooked up. I have Nest thermostats, don't have them hooked up. All I have is the Ring doorbell. And the main reason, I don't feel motivated to do this, but Stacy's trying to talk me into putting this throughout the house. Now, it's not cheap. That's a $200 kit, right?
Yeah, a little bit over $200 just
so
for this.
You plug in the hub, and then you replace your light switches with these special light switches that have a remote built into that, okay? And now this one's looks a little different because they have, I guess that's because the plugins are because you're going to do a table lights.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't need the little plug-in cartridges if you're going to do the, and they have remotes on the cartridges there too.
And I would open it, but I
think you should install it. So for instance, in my kitchen, I wouldn't need the little plug-in hubs because I'd use the overhead lights. What she suggested is if you have a dual switch, which we do, you know, leave the one switch normal and put the remotes in the other switch. The remotes do work as switches, by the way, so you don't lose a switch. You have to make sure you have dimmable bulbs in there. And that's an issue because as we move to LEDs, not all LEDs are dimmable. And even the ones that are dimmable aren't as good as incandescent dimmables.
Yeah.
It definitely won't work with compact fluorescent. So you either have to have dimmable LEDs or incandescent bulbs. And then you can do things like say, hey, Echo, turn off the lights in the kitchen or dim the lights to 50%. But I'm even more interested, and you could do this with HomeKit, having a command for HomeKit that says, turn off, what you would say is something like, good night, Siri. And then Siri would turn off all the lights, lock the doors, make sure the garage door was closed, turn the thermostat down to 65, all of that stuff. And that's cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we might have turned off people's lights, so apologize.
No, we didn't turn it.
So these plug into the wall, and then you plug your plug into, there's like an outlet on the side.
Right.
I don't know if you can see.
And they
that,
sell each of these individually.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's for table lights, you know, standing lights. That's for standalone lights that aren't built into the wall.
So yeah, as soon as I have a house to move into, which should be next week, I'll hook up $200
for this kit, and that would do two lamps.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got the hub, so you don't need to buy another hub. You could do the rest of your stuff onesie, twosie.
And then
I hear very good things. I mean, yeah. Stacy thinks this is the one to get. It's the Lutron Caseta wireless smart light dimmer system.
There are remotes, and you can also use the app too. I guess the remotes.
Right. But that's the idea. Is you can use Echo, so you can tell Echo turn off the lights, or you can use Siri.
Right. The remote is nice if you don't. I don't keep my phone in my room.
Well, so. One of the criteria Lisa said is, well, I still want to be able to turn off the lights on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the best of both worlds. So you don't have to say to everybody, okay, there's no more light switches. You have to talk to the phone. That wouldn't be good. So this way you get the best of both worlds. You right. can still use your Switches the same way you always did, but you also have that additional capability.
Exactly. We also got an email from Grant Kendrick. And he said, I got a tad bit creative with my AirPods and some electrical tape last night. Came out quite well. I tried them on my cat, Reginald, but they didn't fit. But he has his own cat pods for his cat podcasts that he listens to when I'm gone. He's got to stay informed of all the latest cat tech. And we have some photos. So
no.
Those are just for him, not for his cat. Good. Don't get distracted.
Why did he tape those?
It's now they're stylish. They're style pods.
Oh, it's styling. Yeah, it's very, you know, it's... For the same crowd that might put safety pins in their
right.
clothing.
Right, that's yeah. Reginald.
Hi, Reginald.
So it matches Reginald.
I see.
Black and white. Yeah, it matches his cat.
Did we talk about on this show? I think we talked about on Mac Break Weekly, the service that will paint your AirPods.
No, we did not talk about
it's
that.
It's expensive.
Well, I bet that Grant Kendrick will do it cheaper.
Well, it's certainly a lot easier with electrical tape. Let me see. I'm going to find this company. Colorware. We've seen Colorware do. They actually do a great job. Colorware. Let me go to their website. Color W A R E. We've seen them do iPods and iPhones.
Ooh.
In different. That's a pretty. And they do painting, but they also will do iPod Airs. AirPods.
Ooh,
look at that.
We should test that, don't you think?
130 schmackers. They have solids and metallics, but look at the candy apple red.
Those are so cute.
Isn't that awful? And they even. What?
You said awful.
Awful. And they even, you like them, huh?
I do.
They have gloss, they have matte. Now, here's the deal. They used to sell AirPods for $300 painted, but they'd have run out of those.
Oh.
So you're going to mail in your AirPods to them. 3 to 4 week turnaround, and it's $160. But they do, look at these. These are the jet black.
Look at the orange and blue. Those are my favorite colors.
I know.
Man, I'm crazy excited. For
oh, this is just
inside.
An ad. I just wanted to look at them. But see, now the only thing I'm not crazy about is they paint the outside of the dental floss canister, but they don't paint the inside. But I guess that's okay. So it's two-tone. It opens up, and it's white on the inside. And yeah, you can have two different colors. You can have orange for the AirPod and baby blue for the
I love everything
case
about
or whatever.
That.
Yeah. So that's Colorware, colorware.com. It's pricey, and you're going to lose your AirPods for 3 to 4 weeks while mm-hmm. they paint them.
But, you know, when they fall out of your ears, which they do mind.
It'll be easier to find if they're bright red, if they're fire engine candy apple
mm-hmm.
red. I know. I like the metallic red. I think that's pretty.
I think it's pretty yeah. as well. All right, we have one more sponsor to thank. We have a sponsor to thank, Quicken Loans. I have no segue. I'm sorry.
Did you have to buy that your house? Did you have to get a loan, or did you just pay solid cash? You wrote
a
check.
I just reached
Boom.
Right into your safe.
And
I took
out
the money.
A lot of
no,
cash.
I have a mortgage,
yeah.
and it is frustrating to get a mortgage.
Isn't it?
Yes.
The last when we bought our house, it took us a month, and we thought, oh, it won't take more than a week or so. So we went on vacation, and they were still contacting us, asking for us to fax them documents. That's because there wasn't Rocket Mortgage. Now, next time, going to do it with Quicken Loans, one of the best mortgage lenders in the country. I'd say the best if you look at their J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Awards, number one in customer satisfaction every year since 2010. Boom, 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 boom. But they also know geeks, and they say, look, we know you don't want to go to a bank. So, you know, my mom might want to meet her mortgage lender. She might like bringing in all the paperwork, gives her something to do. But, you know, geeks, we're too busy. We just want to do it all online. I don't want to talk to anybody. Now you can. With Rocket Mortgage, you can literally submit all the paperwork you need. It's not paperwork. It's just, you know, your check stubs, your bank statements with a touch of a button. You can customize your loan frictionless because in real time, you know, choose the rate and the length of your loan, get it just right, and then you get approved. Not in months or weeks or days, but in minutes. You could actually be at the open house and say, let's buy this. Go to quickenloans.com/IOS today and get approved before you leave. Wow. That's Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank. Skip the waiting. Go completely online. Quickenloans.com/IOS today. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans so much for their support of IOS today. They didn't know they were going to have an ad with a guy in Mickey Mouse ears. Quickenloans.com/IOS today. Gosh, I think this is I found my caling.
Yeah.
This is what the engineers on the train at Disneyland were.
Oh, I thought someone had just thrown like a burnt hamburger in your head and it got stuck.
Kind of looks like that. No, these are feel my ears. They're velvety soft. Just like real mouse ears.
Are velvety soft.
These are not your cheap plastic ears. These are velvety soft. Go ahead, touch them again.
Okay, yes.
That kind of feels good. Would you do that one more time?
All right, I'm done.
No, actually, this was brought to me by an employee of Disneyland. He said, this is, you know, this you can't just buy this on the store.
You can't?
Mm-mm. This is the real deal, man.
And why are you wearing it?
Because it's AppCap time.
It's AppCap time.
Da-da-da-da-da. Yes. You're wearing a very appropriate springy straw hat.
I am. First day of spring.
Nice.
Are you ready to see my favorite app?
Yes.
Okay. I told you we would spin the wheel for meals, the meal wheel. Do you remember that at the beginning of the show? I said we were going to spin the meal wheel.
I don't. What is the meal wheel?
Okay. So let's say
I used to work with a DJ who had a contest every day on his show called the Wheel of Meat. You'd spin it, and you'd get whatever steak it landed on. It didn't work so well because he had actual steaks nailed onto the wheel.
Oh, this is a little bit like that. Okay, so let's say no, not at all like that.
Okay.
You and Lisa, you want to go out to dinner.
Yes.
And you can't decide. You're like, oh, I can't.
Oh, this is like Urban Spoon.
Is Urban Spoon a meal wheel?
Well, it wasn't a wheel, but it would randomly pick a restaurant
for you.
Well,
I guess I didn't know that Urban Spoon did that. This is called Food Genie.
Food Genie. Food Genie. See, it's got a wheel.
It has an actual
wheel. Oh, look, and these are actual restaurants.
Yeah, so you can put in your settings, which you can
Is it really suggesting Pete's Henny Penny? Because that place.
Well, I can. You don't like Pete's Henny Penny, so
have you
maybe,
ever been to Pete's Henny Penny?
No. So maybe you don't like, is it a diner? Pete's Henny Penny?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't like diners?
You know what? Leave
Maybe
it in there.
Like
Leave it in
food?
There. Leave it in there because you know what? Michael loves Pete's Henny Penny.
Is it a gastropub?
Mm.
So we can apply all these filters.
I don't
the
know
type
what a gastropub
food.
Is. That sounds delicious.
We can say maybe we're trying to decide amongst ourselves.
Oh,
maybe you
biking,
and I are
biking,
going to lunch.
Driving?
Do we want to go within 4 blocks?
Make it a mile.
A mile.
Yeah.
A mile away. All these apply
Look
the
at
filters.
That.
Now we're going to spin
if
the wheel.
If it comes
Ready
up with Pete's
spin?
Henny Penny, that'll be funny.
Let's
oh, this
spin
is cool.
The wheel.
This is cool.
So came up with some suggestions.
Urban Spoon isn't around anymore, so I guess we need something.
Vichimoto Cafe.
I never even heard of it.
This is built with
Look at all those reviews.
Yelp API.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, you
Look
can
at the
read
five
all
stars
about it.
For Vichimoto.
I don't know where that is.
I never even heard of it. See, this is nice.
Yeah. I've never heard of it either, but we can read other reviews about it. Do you want to spin the wheel again?
Yeah.
Just because it's fun
so
to
this
spin
is fun.
A wheel.
So I can see that you do this with the coworkers because it's always a debate. Where should we go? Where should we go? So let's say, let the food genie choose.
Yeah, exactly. Osushi?
Ooh, I like Osushi.
Yes.
There you go. I've been there.
We should spin it on Wednesday when we all have lunch.
We could do that. Spin the wheel. Oh, I see. The sliders are for just for different
Right.
Settings.
Maybe I want it even closer. Let's see if it's
What's in the neighborhood? Yeah. 4 blocks. Yeah, we could do that.
When you come into the Twit Studios, you
fun.
Can spin the wheel. Go
Denny's.
To Denny's Flowering Tea House.
Oh, that's good. That's the Chinese restaurant across the street.
Mm-hmm. So
like
this
that
is
one.
Food Genie. It costs 99 cents.
Okay, but there's no ads, I noticed. I like that.
No, and it was created by a dad, Nick Perkins.
Nice.
And he created it with the Yelp API and a few Cocoa Pods. You know
See,
what Cocoa
this
Pods
is
are?
An example, though, of an app that the guy just probably in his spare time said, I think I got a good idea for an app.
Exactly. He has this whole story about that he wrote about it. This was a common problem among
That's
his family. I like it. It's like Pandora a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just going to spin the wheel and
see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you got to make a deal that we have to eat it wherever it comes up.
Yeah.
That would
of
make
course.
It more fun.
Yeah.
No, not Pete's Henny Penny. No. They have a giant, you'll know it because they have a giant metal chicken in front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, yeah. So you'd have to agree to eat at Henny Penny's. What's your app?
It's a game. It's actually one of the featured games this week. And I, you know, I like puzzle games. Mm-hmm. I was the one who told you about The Room, right? It goes back to, you know, my infatuation with what was that great game? Oh, now, you know, with the lighthouse on the Mac in the early days. Oh, it was so much fun. Why can't I remember the name of that? Anyway, I've been always been infatuated with games that are beautiful puzzle games. And this is the newest hotness. Myst, thank you, with a Y, Myst. This is Myst-like. It's called Pavilion, and it's from Vision Trick Media. It's a desktop game, but it's now available on your iOS. I hate it when they do that. And so this is a touch game. It's 64-bit, though, so you'll have to have a 5S or later or an iPad Air 2 or later. You have to have a 64-bit. Actually, that's going to be easier because the next version of iOS is 64-bit only. One of those with great sounds and really great looks. I will resume my my current game so you can see a little bit more about the middle. Now, we're in a beautiful, lush landscape. It's kind of like Monument Valley if it were really, really, you know, fully illustrated. There's not a... The puzzles are pretty simple. You're just trying to wind your way around the maze. Here's my little guy, right? He's warming his hands in the fire because it's rainy. And I have to somehow, I think, get him to this door. I'm going to ring this bell, see if that gets his attention. Oh, yeah, see? Now he's walking over to the door. Uh-oh.
Oh.
What?
Are you that guy?
That's me, but he walked back. So I obviously have to do something more than just ring the bell. And so we're going to have to, oh, look, there's a clock tower. You just touch stuff to see what happens. One of those. It's not super hard. It's probably a little easier than The Room or Myst, but I love the atmospheric and the rain. And actually, the reason it's showing us this is because I think I got stuck here.
Oh,
I know. Maybe if I turn off the light. See, he won't go in the dark. So if I turn off the light there, now he won't. Now, oh, where's he going? Oh, where's he go? Where are you going, little guy? Oh, he found the other way out. So let's try that again. Let's ring the bell. And this time I'll turn off the other light. He'll come up this side probably, huh? Yeah. Now watch. When he gets there, I'm going to turn off the light. Now what happens?
So you're scared of the dark.
Yeah. Nothing happens. Let's turn off this light so he doesn't go back that way. Maybe turn on this light so he can go that way. Ring the bell again. Oh, man. I don't know what's happened here. So I'm stuck. Something's going on.
Was it easier at the beginning?
Well, it got me all the way to this point. Shall I go back in? Let's close it.
Oh, no. I like games like this.
It's pretty, isn't it? It's the kind of thing on a plane or whatever. It's not urgent. There's no timer. And so it's just... And it's pretty. But again, no instructions, right? You kind of can figure out that you should touch the fingerprint.
The music does make me feel like I'm in a Buddhist meditation.
It's atmospheric,
center.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's beautiful. And so I'm going to go to this world. There are two chapters. That second chapter will be available later this year. So this is only the first chapter of two.
It does look like Monument Valley.
It doesn't it kind of have that feeling to it? And there's chairs and furniture floating. And now I'm appearing. See, there I am. Let's ring that bell. Oh, he covered his ears. Zoom in and you can watch him.
What is he running from?
Is it running from something or running to something? That's the question we all want
yes,
to know.
Yes, it really is the question of life.
Yeah. He's going down the stairs. Anyway, I just think this is pretty and interesting. Not, I would say, super challenging, although as you can see, I'm stuck.
Maybe a long time.
See, he stopped there. This is how I learned. Oh, you turn on lights. That lets him go. He won't go back that way. Oh, there's a drawer. Let's open that up. What's in the drawer? A pocket watch. Maybe that'll be useful later. I don't know. So, I haven't played the whole game through, so I can't tell you, you know, if it gets incredibly hard. I'm kind of stuck at the moment. But you can see I've sort of figured out kind of how to use it. And I do like the atmospherics of it. All right. So there you go. That's my app cap. It's called Pavilion. and it is available right now for $2.99. Not an arcade game. It's a beautiful puzzler. And that's my app cap.
And that is the end of the show.
No.
It is.
Oh, I was having so much fun.
You will be here next week. You're not going on vacation.
Will you be here too?
I will be here. Yes, we will
be
here
next
week.
Well, if you're going to be here, then I will
be here.
Okay,
good. And we will talk about something fascinating.
Tell us which voice assistant you like and why.
Yes.
And maybe if you've got a really clever hack, mm-hmm. or you know, you figured out how to do something really interesting with your voice assistant of choice, let us know.
Yes.
How could they let that?
They could email me at Megan@twit.tv. You can direct message me on Twitter at Megan Maroney. You can email our iOS Today @twit.tv. You could also call us, and that number is something very good.
It's there right in the bottom. 707-557-504-iPad.
Yep. Maybe next week we need to do memory apps.
Well, that'd be good. Because, you know, your memory's like a muscle. You can get it better. And yeah. God knows we do need to do that.
Yeah, we'll see if any apps can help me remember that phone number.
It's on the website. I already forgot it. 757 something.
But twit.tv/iOS. That's where you can find it.
And we'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.